Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Some of that stock footage, and we have like sweaters on and winter coats on, and like this week we're going to be like, just give me tank tops and shorts, right, with the heat coming in. But man, just thinking, a few months we'll be shoveling snow. I'm just glad I don't live in Texas, where it's super hot. Austin calls and tells us it's 105 degrees out, and I'm like, so? It's 72 here. Shouldn't have moved away. I'm just kidding. I don't tell them that. I'm totally kidding. Austin, if you ever watch this, I'm kidding, man. I love you. Come back to Kansas. Anyway, we're in week three of our Daniel Dilemma series, and I hope that, how many of you have faced a little bit of dilemmas this past week? In life, right? You just had some opportunities to overcome, and you're here this morning as a testimony. I overcame that opportunity, or I'm still walking through that situation, but there are all around us, and they raise their head all the time, dilemmas that you and I get to face. Just really want to encourage you tonight as we dive into Convoy of Hope. Man, if you can be here tonight at 6 o'clock, the AC will be on. We'll be filling backpacks and just getting everything ready. Tomorrow we'll be staging for the groceries and then filling bags on Tuesday and on Wednesday. And so you have the schedule in the bulletin. It's up on the slide. It's all around here. So as you're walking out, you're like, I'm not seeing it. I know there's some posters up in the breezeway here, and then down on the other end, the front doors on the west side, that you can take a picture of the schedule, because many opportunities to serve and to grow in relationship with each other as we're doing it, but also opportunity just to serve our community. Man, don't you love Valley Center in the Wichita area? Yes. Amen. I just love it. And I'd rather be living here than in Texas. You know, anywhere else. I just love this area. I love our community. I love what God is doing at Life Point and in other churches in our area. And we're just, man, it's just fun to be a part of it. It's good to be a part of it, and good to be alive. So it's going to be a great week with Convoy. Look at the screen, if you would. I just want to dive right into our life verse for the week. I encourage you to memorize this verse, hide it in your heart, and proclaim it out loud throughout your week and in the coming weeks. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, and the first part of 14 says this: be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men, be women, be students of courage, be strong. Look at your neighbor and say, be strong. Do everything in love. God wants you to do two things. He wants you to stand strong, and he wants you to love well. How many of you think that you can do both? So yeah, I don't know. It depends on the day. Today I'm really good about loving well, but you know, then yesterday I didn't do that so well, or whatever. Many people think that I can't do both. It's exclusive. I can either stand, but if I stand, I don't feel like I'm going to love well, because you know, people are going to get mad at me if I stand, you know, firm in an issue, and they're going to think that I'm being a Karen or whatever. You know, they're just going to hate me for it. Others think, well, if I love well, that just means I have to be soft towards everything and just really squishy and really not stand for anything, and I don't know if I can do that. I feel like they're exclusive, but I really believe that you can do both, right? And 2 weeks ago, we started off with a theology really on the book of Daniel, and looking at the balance we see throughout the Bible, that God is about truth and God's about grace. And you see that all through the pages of Scripture. And John chapter 1 tells us, as John is writing about Jesus, he says that Jesus brought both grace, and Jesus brought truth, right? And he brought the standard, but also he brought this invitation to be free from sin, to be set free from it, to live. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free, right? Scripture tells us. And last week we looked at Babylon. That Babylon's just not a location physically, although Babylon would be located in modern-day Iraq. But it's not just a physical location, it's a spirit. It's a spirit that is active today, and God's going to be judging that spirit in the book of Revelations. We looked at that last week. So in the next 2 weeks, I want to just take some time and look at the topic of standing firm. How do you do that? How do you stand firm in a culture, in a society that says there is no right or wrong? How do you stand firm when people will call you a bigot if you stand firm? How do you stand firm when maybe you feel really weak in the season that you find yourself in? So we're going to be walking through that. The reality is that you and I will be faced with a choice to stand or not to stand for your faith. I don't say that to try to get a response. I don't say that to play a victim card. The reality is that you and I have it really, 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 really good in the old US of A even today. Right? There are Christians that have assembled already today. They assembled under the dark of night. They assembled navigating through back alleys to get into dark rooms to worship our Jesus, because there was people looking for them, there was people watching them, that if they know that they are taking hold of this scripture, if they know that if they're talking to Jesus, that if the wrong person's walks in the room or sees them walking down the street headed to do what we just did, that their life is at stake. Their family could be separated. So you and I have it really, really good, don't we? Whether we're facing something so severe or not, I believe God wants to place a fortitude within you, within us, to be courageous to stand daily for the Lord. Now, I want to talk to you about standing this morning. Our life verse mentions it several times, Ephesians. It's all through the book of Ephesians. But again, just to look at our life verse, 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be women, be children, be students of courage, be strong, do everything in love." We'll talk about that next week, because that deals with influence. The reality is that most of us don't feel a bunch of pressure in standing for our faith. I mean, for some of us, the biggest amount of pressure we may have ever experienced is that when you go to the restaurant, and you go to the restaurant with that one guy or with that one lady, and they just want to pray really loud at the restaurant for the food. Have you ever been there? You're like, man, if Uncle Buck prays, the whole restaurant is going to hear, and they're going to be in this prayer meeting with us right here. Right? And he begins to pray, and it's loud, and it's long. And it ends with a song. Like, let's just all sing Blessed Assurance right now. And you're just like, oh, okay, it's going to be a while. Or if they stand up, and how many of you are hand holders around the dinner table when you pray? You know, and maybe you're at a restaurant, and you're with a group of guys, and you're at a restaurant, and one of them just like, hey, let's just join hands. And you're just like, looking around, everybody's watching you, and you're like, no, I really don't want to join your hand, man. We can pray without holding hands here, right? Or whatever, just having some, that's all silly, but how often have we fretted over the small stuff when there are believers who have lost their lives over standing for their faith? For their faith. Okay? I'm going to meddle just for 10 seconds. Standing for their faith, not standing for a political ideology. There's a big difference, right? And so, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, case in point, he was a German pastor. And when he was there during Nazi Germany, he served. as a pastor during that era, during that time, and Christian churches would gather and they would assemble, and they would be having their services, and they would hear a train. It's not happening yet, but they would. I thought as I was writing this illustration, I thought, how cool would it be if the train came through right now? But they were while they were having their services, and they could hear the train approaching in the distance. And that train would be full of Jewish individuals being taken to be executed. And the response of the church in that season was they sang louder. Why did they sing louder? So they couldn't hear the train. Bonhoeffer said, "This can't. He got off the stage and he stood against the Nazis, and the result is that he was hung for his faith. That wasn't that long ago, was it? His famous one of and he has several famous quotes, but one of the last famous quotes that he spoke was, "My end is coming, my new life is beginning. Tell my family that." Courage. God may call us to have a similar kind of faith. We don't know. But so we've been using the Old Testament book of Daniel for this series, and there are several examples of individuals within the book taking such stands. And we've looked at Daniel. We've talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you're not familiar with them, maybe you're more familiar with Rakshak and Benny from VeggieTales, but it's the same people. Okay, and today's account is found in Daniel chapter 3, very familiar passage of scripture. It is the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but it says this in verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image. As we read through this text this morning, I want you to notice how many times this word is used, the word image. And I want you to notice how often the word sound is. I want you to pay attention as we're working our way through this text to those two words. I want to submit to you that culture's way of getting its gods or its ideology inside of you isn't by "don't serve your God, serve this God," but it is through, I mean, that's too blunt. But it is hidden in the images and the sounds. So always be on guard with what you hear and what you see. It reminds me of that old nursery song that you sing the kids, right? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Remember that? It says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Many scholars believe that this image most likely was not of him, but it was of his patron god, Nebo, who he worshipped, and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it, and the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded." Culture will bring you to a place where it will make you think you have to. O peoples, nations, and men of every language, as soon as you heard the sounds. Again, always be careful of what you hear and what you see. It might not be as innocent as you think. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither. I mean, what's a zither? You know, Robin, we need to bring some zither onto the platform during worship. The lyre, the harp, the pipes, all kinds of music. That included cowbell. Some of you are like, what's up? And we'll go on. You You must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Dropping down to verse 12, chapter 3. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are going, well, we're not bowing. We're not going to do it. And we know everyone is going to bow to something, right? It is important that you bow to the right things. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're not bowing to that because we bow our knee to our Heavenly Father. How important is it that we are aware of what we're giving our time and our talent and our treasures to? Because those things can have our heart, the good and the bad. What you worship is important. How did Nebuchadnezzar react to this as he hears the news of some individuals that he put into place of influence not doing what he's asked people to do? How does he respond to that? You would think you see the influence that they have here, because typically what would have happened would he would have just said, take him out and exterminate him, get rid of him. Instead, he calls for them and says, come here, I want to talk to you. I want to know why you're doing what you're doing, because I've commanded you, I've demanded that you worship this image. They bring him to him. And he is upset, he got mad. In the toxic culture that we live in, if you don't believe what I believe, you're terrible, and we can't talk, and we don't know how to have conversation, but we'll have our conversation on social media because that's so productive. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Verse 15, I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments, but if you refuse. It's just reminding us, preparing you for situations where you might not want to do something. I mean, for the single individual, you're in a dating relationship and you have your standards, and that individual that you're dating wants you to go beyond, and they want to engage in things that you're like, man, that is my standard, and they're asking you to cross the line and push aside your standard to bow to the desire of the moment. It may be the business deal that if you make this decision to compromise in this area so that you can get the deal, it may mean a lot for the business if it doesn't fall apart and unravel and get discovered. But how can you stand? Maybe just choosing to engage in locker room humor or not engage in locker room humor at the workplace or at the school or in the locker room, you know, wherever. It's dilemmas where you say, I don't know what to do. If you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace, and then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? So the remainder of our time, I want to talk to you on the subject line of how to stand. So, are you ready? Number one, standing firm takes courage. That word courage comes from the Latin word heart. That's something within your heart. Something rises up within you. Courage isn't the man or the woman who isn't afraid of nothing. It's the person who may have some fears, but they're not going to bow to those fears. Verse verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. In other words, we're not worried. We're not worried about what this ask of you, and will God come? We're not worried about our outcome. It wasn't that they thought that Nebuchadnezzar was bluffing. I mean, it was credible. The furnace was blazing. But there was something that rose up within them that said, man, my hope is in the Lord. And my prayer is that same spirit, that same courage would rise up within each of us and enable you to stand against the messages of culture, enable you to stand against the opportunities of compromise that would come your way. Courage is being willing to move in a direction in spite of the emotions and thoughts that bid you to do otherwise. Courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is standing firm in spite of your fears. And as you work your way through this story in chapter 3, you see another principle. It's standing firm. Standing firm takes faith. Faith that God is on your side. Faith that God is going to deliver you from that situation. Look at it, if you would. Verse 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we ain't bowing. It's this faith that God has them. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you. It's almost like that little kid grabbing him by the cheek.
We just want to make it clear to you, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not bowing.
Never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, it's a win-win situation. You're like, what? Look at what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Paul put it this way in another place in Philippians. He said, man, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He's like telling, you know, the Roman guards, the Roman soldiers, those that have the ability to take his life, I win. You let me live, I get to preach. I get to write letters to churches and give them instructions. You kill me, I get to see Jesus. Right? Verse 17. Daniel chapter 3. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty. I love the fact of the respect, the honor that they are giving to Nebuchadnezzar. You could, instead of saying, your majesty, you could say, sir. There's this understanding of the position which he holds, and because of that, they are giving respect. Your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Listen, I think courage isn't about what you're standing against. I think it's what you're standing for. I mean, let's be people who are for God and for helping people see and know God. Amen? I mean, that's what Convoy of Hope is all about. That's what VBS is all about. That's you know, all the things that we do. That's what it's about. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. And I stand because I love God, not because I hate a group that's out there. I hate their agenda. I hate their ideology. I don't stand for that. I stand because I love God. I love his word. And his word's truth. It's going to guide my path, and it'll guide your path if you allow it. That's why I stand. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." And he said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, bound, unbound, unarmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods." In theology, we would call that statement a theophany. You see it throughout the pages of Scripture where the angel of the Lord or the Lord shows up in a manifest presence. That's what you have here. Jesus, throughout eternity, minus the 33 years that he came and did life, if you will, on this walk the face of this earth, has been sitting next to his Father in heaven. John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus was there from the beginning, right? In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, speaking of Jesus. And from time to time, though, I don't know, I'm just playing it out in the theater of my mind, Jesus has maybe, as they've sat there overlooking the, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, just on the throne in heaven, every once in a while, Jesus is like, "Man, I just need to stretch my legs a little bit. I think I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to go down and visit Earth." And you have this theophany that happens. Shows up. Verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched. There was no smell of fire on them. Check it out. You may think you have to run from culture, but you can be right in the middle of it and not a hair of your chinny chin chin can be singed by it. I think that's pretty awesome. You may burn more hair lighting your barbecue this afternoon than because of culture. Parents, let me just say this. Your kids will be heading off to school here in a few weeks. And your kids, whether they're at a public school or a Christian school, they're homeschooled, they're going to get dirty because they'll be around other kids that don't have your same values or you know. So they'll hear things, they'll encounter things, they'll find things, and they'll come home to a place that you get to make a sanctuary. You will work 40 plus hours a week in an environment that isn't the godliest environment, but you get to come home to a place that is your sanctuary, a safe haven, a place where all the muck and all the dirt and all the gunk of life can be left out on the front step. And you come home and you know you're loved, you know you'll get cleaned up, you'll know that life will be spoken over you, and you'll be able to step into the next day. Make your home that type of place. It doesn't just happen, though. I was saying, I mean, just thinking about this, you know, when our boys were young, and this is a long time ago, but we homeschooled Austin for several years just because we were frustrated with where he ended his kindergarten year in school. And so we were like, we're going to homeschool. And so we're like, you know, we've never done this before. And And we were like, okay, but we felt like this is what we need to do. And so we joined a homeschool co-op. And in our mind, you know, thinking, well, you know, everyone in that co-op is going to be like, they're probably a bunch of Christian families, and, you know, they have their reason for homeschooling, so it'll be good. And so we went to this, like, back-to-school barbecue gathering. And I'm thinking, you know, I can just cut my kid loose, and he's going to run around, and it's going to be good, and, you know, meet some friends and all this stuff. So we're just hanging out, meeting some new people, and the kids are playing, and they're one of the kids are over by the swing set, and they're swinging, and all of a sudden, man, this little kid, he just lets, like, words that a six-year-old should never even know of just, like, blast through the atmosphere. And I'm like, oh, dear Jesus, Austin, cover your ears, cover, this is not a, you know, I'm, you know, just like wherever you go, there's opportunities to hear stuff and to see stuff and to encounter stuff. Make your home a refuge and a safe haven. You know, and create that environment. Because you don't have to smell like culture. Because culture's pretty funky smelling sometimes, isn't it? Number three, standing firm inspires others. You may be nervous about it, but you will inspire others. I promise you. Dads and moms, inspiring your kids. You can be a representative for God wherever you go and inspire people. I hear individuals that I meet out in our community, and they'll say, oh, do you know so-and-so? I was like, yeah, they go to our church. And they're like, man, that individual is an incredible example, just such an encourager. And all the time I hear that. Verse 28, the Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, so he's seen the four in the fiery furnace. Check out his response. The Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God. Now he's worshiping, right? Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god except their own God. So he's like, praise to that God. Look what how he came through. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation of or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces. How many know he's not sanctified yet? Right? He's worshiping, praise that God. But if you speak against that God, we're going to cut you. And their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Then he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the province of Babylon. When they thought that they were taking a stand and would get demoted, they got promoted. That's God's economy. Either way, they win. So, let's wrap this up. We didn't come here to have a feel-good message and be comfortable. We're here, and as long as I'm the pastor of LifePoint, and hopefully that's a long time, hopefully I'm like, bury me at the cemetery. We're here, listen, we're here to be great at the great commandment, to love God and to love others, living it out through things like Convoy of Hope, living it out like through support of getting the gospel to places that need it, living it out by building generations like VBS and seminary and momentum that's done for the kids throughout the summer, supporting those who are rescuing kids and women and boys that are caught up in sex trafficking, going to places like Colombia and beyond. It's mission, and mission involves impact. And mission involves being in the game. That's why we do Starting Point. It's why we did iLead like we did it last week. Because we need you on the team. God needs you on the team. Your neighbor needs you on the team. Valley Center and Wichita and Newton and Sedgwick and Andover and Hayesville and Mays needs you on the team. Every person has a calling. Every person has a purpose. And we either have two options. We can be a voice for people, or we can echo culture. It's about living for something, not against something. You know, let me put it this way. Don't be rebellious against God. God, it's my life. I want to do what I want to do. It's not convenient for me. Can we just be rebellious against culture? So, how do you live a stand-up life in a bow-down world? First, stand in prayer. It all begins there. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Ephesians 6, chapter 13 and 4, or verses 13 and 14. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, what's it say? Say like you mean it. Stand firm then. Prayer is foundational for our relationship with God. Prayer is foundational for our strength, because you're connected to Almighty God when we're in prayer. Prayer can be a dynamic part of our day. And I don't think there's one of us in this place that can say, man, I am where I need to be in my prayer life. I'll write a book right now, because I got it down so good. All right? I mean, all of us know we have room to grow. Even if we're thinking, man, right now I'm pretty batting a nine in my prayer. I feel pretty good. I'm getting up where Moses was on top of the mountain in my prayer life. You know, we know that there's always more, right? But it's standing in prayer. I think I've told this story before, but it happened years ago when I was a freshman at the University of Wyoming. I knew God had a call in my life. I knew I was going to do ministry, but for whatever reason, I went to University of Wyoming for a semester, and I think it was God just moving me out to the desert to rip some things off of my life that needed to get ripped off and then prepare me for the next step. So I was there at University of Wyoming, and I started my Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes with psychology. And then I had like an hour break, and then I had sociology. So I am being inundated with the philosophies of the day, right? And so I would go to psychology, sit through that class, come back to my dorm, sixth floor of Whitehall, and that's when I would have my devotional time. Man, and I would put on headphones, and my roommate had a kicking stereo, and I would put on some worship music, man, and I would have my quiet time before I went back to my sociology class. And I would get in scripture, and I would pray, and I would sing, and for those of you that like to sit next to me, just know I could cut an album and sell millions with my singing ability, right? But I would sing, and so I would come back, and that was my routine. And one day I came back, and I thought that I always locked my door behind me. And I sit down, and I'm just having this time with the Lord. I've read my scripture, and I put in some Hosanna music, because back in the 80s, man, it was Hosanna music. That was how we worshiped back in the day, right? And Jehovah Jireh, all that stuff. And I'm just worshiping, top of my lungs, in sixth floor of Whitehall, just, thought I was all by myself. And I turn around, and on my roommate's bed is Jason. Man, I've been singing, I've been praying in tongues, I've been reading scripture out loud, I've just been like all in. And I turn around, and there's Jason. Hey, Jace. And he's like, no lie. These were his words. That's really cool, man. I was like, yeah, you're right. I'm just awesome. You know, I mean, I didn't respond that way. And he's like, that's really cool. What do you say? What do I say in that moment? And I try to do this every day. You know, God's a big part of my life and whatnot. And in a matter of weeks, Jason gave his heart to the Lord. And he walked in one day, and he was like, what's this baptism stuff? I want to get baptized. And on the sixth floor of Whitehall, in the community bathroom, I baptized Jason in that bathtub. What can happen when you stand and you pray? I don't know where Jason's at. I've lost contact with him. But that's just the reality of what God has for us when we're in his presence. Secondly, stand for purpose. All of hell will try to talk you out of what God is wanting and asking of you. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. That's your calling, because you know that the labor of the Lord is not in vain. And thus that, next thought, stand for God. You are standing for God, for a God who stood for you, who stood for me. You were the joy that Hebrews 12 speaks about in verse 2. You were the joy that was set before him. Take a stand. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, in the Message paraphrase says it this way. Stand up for me against world opinion, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. If you are a student of Scripture, I've already referred to it already, but Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, and if the worship team would come, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says this, where Christ is, where's Christ at right now? He's seated at the right hand of God, right? We know that. Scripture teaches of that. Revelation speaks of that. There is one place where Jesus isn't sitting after he ascended into heaven. Acts chapter 7, verse 55 recounts the story of the stoning of Stephen as he stood for his faith. And it says this in verse 55, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven as his attackers were coming in and beginning to prepare to lob stones at him, as stones were beginning to be thrown at him, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. And what's it say? And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I don't know what that looked like or what that sounded like. I don't know what it sounds like in heaven when a chair scoots across the floor because someone pushed away and they stood up. But I can only imagine in my mind what heaven took notice of that moment when Jesus stood up and looked and saw what Stephen was standing for. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. And I just want to leave you with this thought. I don't know if Jesus does it for everybody, but when I stand, when you stand, according to Acts chapter 7, Jesus stands with me. was no one else that I would want standing for me than to have Jesus standing for me. Right? You win. Either way, you win. He deserves our all because he gave all. He deserves our allegiance and our devotion because he gave all that he is for you and I. Amen? Would you stand with me? Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would stir within us a conviction, a courage, God, to stand against the dilemmas of culture and the events of culture. God, to stand for you, to stand for your righteousness and your truth, and to view our things that are unfolding in our life, not through our perspective, but through your eyes, Jesus. This culture tries to put an image or make a sound that would try to cause us to look away from your truth and the image that you have for us. God, I pray that we would be quick to discern what is of you and what is not of you. God, that our heart, that our ear would always be like the ear of John the apostle, who scripture records put his head on your chest and he heard your heart, Jesus. God, may we hear your heart. May our heart be moved by what moves your heart. God, I know in a few weeks we're going to be diving into 21 days of prayer. God, may that be a catalyst in our lives and the prayer life of this church. But Lord, between now and then, God, may there just be a switch thrown in all of our hearts. We know the value of prayer, Father. Okay, but God, may there just be a want to and a get to in our mindset towards prayer. And God, I thank you for your faithfulness in the midst of our prayer life. And God, when we're faithless, you're faithful. God, when we oversleep an alarm, or we forget to pray, or we get distracted and we said, I'll pray for you, and then we forget, Lord, Holy Spirit, thank you for your nudges and just reminders that we don't earn points with you. You just want to be at the table with us. So God, may we find that place. And Lord, may we just stand for purpose, stand for you, because you're good. You're good. For the one here today that they've not been in relationship with you, they've never had a relationship with you, Lord, I pray that they would see your heart for them today, that you want relationship with them. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you know that there's a barrier between you and God right now. It's called sin, and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin so that you can be in right relationship with God. There's only one way to the Father. The Bible tells us it's through the Son. It's not through your efforts. It's not through your energies. It's not through you being the best you can possibly be. It's through Jesus and his grace and his grace alone. And if you're here this morning and you're like, man, I need to take that step of faith, I don't have it all figured out, but there's something going on with my heart right now, and I need to let Jesus have his proper place in my life. And I want to do that today. If you're here, would you just slip up your hand right where you're at? I just want to pray for you right where you're at, anyone at all. God, you know our hearts. You know where we're at in our relationship with you. And I just pray, God, for all of us, that there would just be a vibrancy occurring within our heart towards you and towards the things of God. For the one that may be watching online or in this room that they've not taken that step of faith to commit their life to you, their life today, but also for eternity to you. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, may you just continue to woo them and draw them to repentance so that there'd be a turning away from their current situation, their current lifestyle and attitudes and walking fully to you, Lord Jesus, and experiencing your grace and the hope of salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. As we step to this last song of worship, and maybe God has spoken something to you. You've sensed God putting his hand upon something pertaining to this message. Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe it's purpose. Maybe it's how you view God. And you're just like, man, before I leave here today, I need to have some conversation. I encourage you to come to the altar and spend some time in prayer. Maybe you just need to kneel down right where you're standing and just get on your knees before God and say, God, I put you in your rightful place. I declare my allegiance to you today on this day. Can we do that? God's a good God. Let's worship him. Step towards him in faith.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.